Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. While you're turning there, somebody say, God's not done. And somebody say, this is my year of Jubilee. Don't you forget, I know we moved past the anniversary, 50 years at Living Way, but this entire year is your year of restoration, of freedom, of forgiveness in Jesus' name. It's my year. It's your year of Jubilee. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 33. And if you were not here when we kicked off this series, we will catch everybody up here in the first 2 or 3 minutes. Walk in obedience. To do all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper. That's not a Star Trek thing. That's a Jesus thing. All you Trekkies in the room. So that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. I love that part. In the land that you will possess. This is our message, second message in the series, Walking with God. I need you to turn to your neighbor and tell them, I am walking with God. Now just look at them. If you got glasses, just drop them on the end of your nose, just look at them. And now ask them, are you walking with God? If you're married to them, I hope they are. Praise God, you may be seated. When we started this series, we took some time to ask that question, how many of us are directionally challenged? If you're sitting next to somebody that's directionally challenged, don't point them out. Just nod your head in agreement that you know the pain of having to tell somebody turn by turn. I have people in my life who will remain nameless, that we've been places many, many times and they still have to put it in the GPS. Or they ask me directions, and I'll tell them, all right, you're going to go to this street, and you're going to turn north. And their response is, listen, I'm not Lewis or Clark, and this is not an expedition. I need to know whether I turn left at the Starbucks or right at the Chick-fil-A. But there's a lot of us who are directionally challenged. And a lot of that is a physical thing, because some people just have an awareness of direction and distance and those types of things. But as we talk about directions and we talk about our walking with God, a lot of us are directionally challenged when it comes to God's direction in our life. Where do I go? What direction am I heading? In just a couple weeks, we will honor and celebrate all of our 2025 graduates. And you remember, those of us that have graduated high school or college, you remember those months leading up to it where you start thinking, what am I going to do? What am I going to do with my life? What do I want to do? What am I going to do that makes a difference and makes a difference in this world? And so we start looking and contemplating directional questions. Psalm 119 tells us, how can a young person stay on the path of purity but by living according to your word? I seek you with all of my heart. Do not let me stray. Do not let me stray from your commands, or rather, God, I want to walk with you. In the first session, we talked about MapQuest, for those of us that are over 35 in the room. We used to print out those directions, and it would give us by the foot, go 100 feet and turn left, go 75 feet and turn right, and then if you're on a long trip, it'd say, all right, for the next 127 miles, go straight. And we liken the MapQuest to the Word of God. Can I just tell you, reading the Word of God is important. But doing the word of God. When God says move, we move. And when God says stop, that we stop. And then if the word of God is like MapQuest, when GPS comes along, that would be like the Holy Spirit. It's what we call discernment. It's what we call, listen, us that were raised Pentecostal and Spirit-filled churches like this, we love to talk about speaking in tongues. That's the evidence of the Spirit. But the purpose of the Spirit is when you are walking, God's Spirit within you tells you to stop, tells you to proceed, tells you to turn left, tells you to turn right, tells you you don't need to be making the trip with him or with her or with them. But there are so many reasons why a lot of us are directionally challenged, why we walk with God for seasons and then we quit, and we covered those 3 weeks ago. One of those is arrogance. I've been guilty of thinking that I know better than God. I read an amazing quote on social media this week that really pricked my heart, and I want to share it with you today. That in 2025, a lot of us, we act like God is the clay and we are the potter. That we are doing our best to shape him to look like us. But I am here to tell you there is no such thing as progressive Christianity or woke Christianity. We are Christians, which means we are like Jesus. And Jesus never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we have to remember he is the potter and we are the clay. And so God, if I'm going to walk like you, I've got to walk step for step, stride for stride with you. I've got to look like you. I've got to sound like you. So when we look at these moments in the Word of God and in Deuteronomy where God is calling us to walk with him, arrogance can derail us. Familiarity may derail us, meaning we've done it so long. We've done it one way so long. I have had conversations the last 18 months with my peers and pastors who are in their 50s, 60s, and 70s, and they are shocked at what God is doing in this world. And can I just tell you, do not believe the news that you read and the news that you watch. This world is not going to hell in a handbasket. God is doing things all over the globe. We are seeing some of the greatest awakenings and revivals on our campuses of secular universities and colleges. Some of the Latin communities down in South America and Central America are seeing the Holy Ghost show up, and not dozens, but thousands come to Jesus and thousands be filled with the Spirit of God. In communist China, underground churches that would dwarf this church, tens upon tens of thousands of people who are meeting this morning under the shadow of death, if they are found out, are coming to Jesus. But these pastors I'm talking to are saying, man, Brandon, I'm not seeing a lot of people come to our church, and I have to remind them God is doing a new thing. We've got Christian influencers that don't have buildings like this, but they spend 1 week telling these secular universities, we're going to be there on this day at this time. We're going to meet you in the quad. And 3,000 or 4,000 teenagers and young adults show up on a Thursday night. And they're hearing the gospel of Jesus. And they're asking questions. And Jesus is meeting them. And they're getting saved. And they're getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And they're getting baptized by the hundreds and thousands in the rivers around these campuses. And I've had to tell these pastors, you are familiar with what God has done. And so that's what your expectation on how he's going to do it. God is going to do what he promised to do, but he's going to do it in a different way. So when I say, God, I'm going to walk with you, you might take me places I've never been. You might do something in me that has never been done. But if I'm walking with you, I trust the process. I trust how you want to do it. And finally, we get caught up in doing our own thing, and we just lack focus, and so we quit walking with Jesus. But remember this, if you want to get where God is leading, you are going to have to follow his directions, which leads us to this word, obedience. Walking with God requires obedience. But write this down if you're taking notes. Obedience is not a journey of one step. It's not a one-time act. Obedience is every day, all day. Obedience is not just on a Sunday morning at 11:55, but obedience is bringing God into every major and minor decision of your life. It is asking God what he thinks. It is asking the Holy Spirit to lead and guide you into the places God wants you to be. Can I remind you that having faith for a moment is what Samson had? He had those moments where he could flex faith, but faith was never supposed to be a flex. Faith is supposed to produce fruit, and fruitfulness never comes by you and me flexing on Sunday morning. Fruitfulness happens by us walking in obedience and being faithful every moment of our lives. Samson had a moment where he killed 1,000 men with the jawbone of a jackass. but he also had a moment where he sold it all so that he could sleep with a prostitute named Delilah. Same man, different circumstances. Obedient one moment, disobedient the next. Walked with God one moment, refused to walk with God the next. Can I encourage you today that when you leave this building, whether you come to an altar or not, you need to make it up in your mind. I am walking out of this building step for step and stride for stride with Jesus. Eugene Peterson said this amazing quote, discipleship, we talk about this word a lot in church. Discipleship is long obedience in the same direction. Long obedience in the same direction. Not short obedience. Not obedience until you get your prayer answered. Come on, somebody. Not obedience when everything is good. Remember, you've heard me say this 100 times, and I'll say it 1,000 more. It is not true submission until God calls you to do something that you do not want to do. If you tell me, Pastor Brandon, you have to go to Papa Do's this afternoon, I don't have to submit to that. That's easy. Yes, I'll go. You paying? We'll go right now. Tyler can finish the service. But if you tell me after service you have to go to Mr. Gaddy's, I'm going to have to submit because I don't want to go there. There's a lot of us that think we're obeying God when he just tells us stuff that we want to do, stuff that makes us feel good. But I challenge you here this year, if you really want it to be Jubilee and you want God to do what only God can do in your life, let me just tell you, in your prayer times, God is going to speak some things in your life that rub you the wrong way, that challenge you. But can I tell you that in those moments of challenging is where you're going to see your biggest growth. It's where you're going to see your faith, amen, built and fortified. And so I want to encourage you, not short obedience, but like Eugene said, long obedience in the same direction is going to make us stronger disciples of Jesus. Walking in obedience, those three words, walk in obedience, implies a motion of forward, a daily decision. It's not about checking off a list or following rules robotically. It's not a forced obedience. And let me just tell you, I think that's probably an oxymoron to say forced obedience, because nobody should or can force you to comply. You remember when you had kids, or maybe you were kids and you got into a fight with your brother or sister, and your mom would say, like, apologize to your brother. I'm sorry. And then she'd be like, no, you better mean it. Like, mom, I love you, but you can't make me mean it. That's a heart issue. You can't force. I can't force you as a pastor. You can't force me. As a fellow Christian, we can't force one another in obedience. We can encourage and inspire one another, but I can't make you be obedient, because the moment I make you be obedient, it's not obedience. Obedience, walking in obedience, is a daily decision, not forced. It's about choosing step for step, day by day, choice by choice, aligning our path with God's way. It's what I call chosen obedience. I choose to be obedient. I've shared this many times. When Mandy and I got together and we got married, she was 17 years old. I was 21 years old. Her parents signed at the courthouse for her to be able to get married, and we got married. And can I just tell the young folks in the room, you better make sure that God's leading you in that direction. We had a tough early marriage. Selfish on my part, and just not knowing how to be a husband and how to be a man, and I'm still learning, and I moved from my parents' house. She moved from her parents' house. It was tough, and one of the things that she had working against her was she had a bunch of friends who were still single, and so when we would plan to do something and they would invite her to do something, they would say, you gonna let some man tell you what to do? And she would have to say, no, I choose to submit to my husband. That's hard to do when you're 57. How about when you're 17 and they're wanting to go hang out after the football game and after prom? It's not a fact of whether you have to. It's, are you in fellowship with God, and do you love him enough to say, no, I choose to submit. I know he could force me if he wanted to, but that's not how our relationship works. I choose to submit. Not forced obedience, but rather chosen obedience. Let's go back to the original text, Deuteronomy chapter 5. Walk in obedience to all the Lord your God has commanded you. All that God has commanded you. So that you may live and prosper. Somebody say live and prosper. Means that there's a differentiation here within the text of living and prospering. How many of you know somebody, don't say their name, how many of you know somebody that lives but they don't prosper? Come on now. They're alive, but they're not living. They're surviving, but not thriving. You know how I know that's a problem? Because Jesus deals with this issue in John 10 and 10 when he said, I came so that you might have life and life in abundance, meaning there is a difference. And here at Living Way, we don't want you to just go to heaven. That is the most important decision you will ever make, is what you do with Jesus to get to heaven. But we want you on this earth to be blessed. We don't want you to be stressed. We don't want you to be depressed. We don't want you to be all of those things. We want your life to prosper. Jesus, through his word right here in Deuteronomy, God says this: to live and to prosper, you walk in obedience. This verse does not say only because obey God because he is in charge and he wants to tell you what to do. It says obey so that you may live and prosper. Here is the revelation on obedience that all of us need to receive today if we have not received it yet. When you first come to church many times, even when you first come to Christ many times, we look at the list of what we are no longer supposed to do. You know, as believers, you're not supposed to get drunk. You're not supposed to get high. Can I get a witness? You're not supposed to sleep around. You're not supposed to be addicted to pornography. You're not supposed to gossip and slander and defame. That was a good place to say amen right there. Like, that's what we come into saying, okay, now that I'm a believer. But here's what obedience really does. Obedience transfers us from that kind of living to being a follower of Christ and walking with God is not as much about what I can't do. It's now about what I can do. It's now about what God has opened up, that I don't have to suffer like the world suffers. And I don't have to stay the way that I was before Jesus and before he delivered and transformed my life. And so when we talk about obedience, it's not, I better be obedient to God so this doesn't happen. It's, God, I'm going to walk in obedience because there is a table that you want to set before me for me to live and prosper. Obeying God is not him controlling you. Obedience to God is you and I controlling our future. When I say yes to God, I say no to the adversary. I say no to flesh, but I say yes to future. I say yes to anointing. I say yes to everything that God has in front of me. So the next time the devil tells you, oh, God just wants you to do this, and God's just running your life, and your pastor wants you to say this and do this and come to this, the next time he gets in your ear and is filling, the devil even knows what God wants to bring into your life. So he tries to make it about what you can't do anymore. And God is saying, Brandon, I just need you to walk with me, because when you walk with me, I'm going to take you where I want you to be. Let's go to the next phrase. God's word. Actually, let me back up real quick. God's word, God's commands are not roadblocks, they're guardrails. God's word and commands are not to restrict life, but to protect and bless life. When we walk God's way, we're not just avoiding harm. That's what we were taught. You do this for God and this won't happen. I have moved and matured in my faith where when I do this for God, yeah, that is a given. All of that stuff's not going to happen. But when I obey God, look at what is about to happen. We walk in obedience. God's will for our lives is greater than just money and stuff. He says, when you embrace my will and walk with me, you live a life of peace, a life of joy, a life of strength, grace, mercy, the presence of God, and the anointing. had a great message from a member here that is sitting here today just talking about keeping peace in their home and peace in their family and setting up healthy boundaries with family and former friends. And I told, and I just encouraged, I said, you are on the right path and you need to make all those decisions. And I said, your family is the most important place of peace that you can build. Don't let anybody bring all of that mess. Keep walking with God. It doesn't matter who it costs you and who it takes you from. Just imagine who it's going to put you with in Jesus' name. Back to verse 33 of Deuteronomy 5. When you obey all that God has commanded, you will live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. When we looked at that word, prolong your days, if you know me, I've been claiming I'm going to live to be 100 years old. And I believe that. And when I say 100 years old, I'm not talking about old and decrepit in a home somewhere. I'm talking about I'm still going to be walking these aisles, praise God. I'm going to still be doing business deals. If they let me teach or preach, I'll teach and preach. If they don't let me, I'll do it on social media. And who knows what social media be like in 55 or 60 years. But I want to live a prolonged life. Now that I'm close to the 50-year mark, I want to live to be 120. I've upped it, God. All right, 120 years old. But listen to this, prolonged. When he says, I'll prolong your days, it's going to bless somebody. He's not just talking about lifespan. He's talking about legacy. I'm big on legacy. I'm a part of legacy. I've got Bishop and Pastor Becky behind me. My legacy sits on this front row. There's a lot of legacy in this building that because Mandy and I have given our lives for 25 years that are here today and we love you. You are a part of our legacy and we don't want to just see your life prosper. We want to see your children's lives prosper, your children's lives prosper. And if I live to be 120, I'll be able to see your children's lives prosper. It is a blessing to me that we are not only seeing people come to this church that are new and giving their life to Jesus Christ and start their walk with God, but it is blessed that we are now dedicating the children of original members here at Living Way. It is amazing that we have lead team members sitting here today that their grandparents were here in the 70s and 80s. I'm not talking about longevity for lifespan reasons because I want to live here that long. I'm talking about God. I want to walk with you so that I can have a legacy built so that no matter what I do, there is something that we leave behind us. Somebody say legacy. Legacy, legacy, legacy. This isn't just about lifespan, it's about legacy. A life walked with God leaves a trail others can follow. There are pioneers in this room. People that you were the first in your family to say yes to Jesus. God bless you for pioneering the way. But can I just remind you that as you walk with God, you are teaching those behind you how to walk with God. When you face obstacles, you are teaching them how to bring down the Goliaths of their life and their generation. My prayers are stronger because I heard the prayers of my mom and dad and prayers of the saints in this room. My worship is greater because I learned how to worship from old men and old women that really knew how to talk to God and reach in. Let me just tell you, you are leaving a legacy. I'm going to say a quote that I heard a few weeks ago on a secular podcast, and it encouraged me, and I sent it to a few people, and I asked Mandy before the service, I said, is this offensive if I say that? And she goes, it's definitely offensive. I said, who is it offensive to? And she's like, there's a lot of people who will be offended by that. I was like, okay, cool. I just want to make sure I was going to be offensive. If there's anybody of Native American heritage in here, I apologize. My wife claims to be one. I've never seen the DNA proof. Get this phrase, and again, don't choose to be offended. Pioneers of our great nation got arrows. The settlers that came behind the pioneers got land. Let that sink in. The pioneers got arrows in their back and in their front when they started taking this land. The settlers came behind the pioneers, the second wave, and they started taking possession of land. Don't be offended. Hear the spiritual truth here. There are pioneers that found the faith before we did, that they took arrows so that we wouldn't have to. They were fought in ways that we wouldn't have to be fought. We sit in an air-conditioned building, 4,000 seats in this room, on 40 acres of the busiest interstate in America. We sit here today because my great-granddad in the woods of Louisiana, 95 degrees, was preaching under tents when he was being threatened to be shot. He had to have people stand beside him with a shotgun because he was being stoned while he was preaching. Not he was stoned, they were throwing rocks at him. I am here to tell you, I am grateful for the legacy. I am grateful for those that took the arrows so that I could stand here and possess. Jubilee is only here because someone took the bullet. Someone took the arrow. And I will say this in my closing moments today. If you are under the age of 30, I am taking arrows for you. I don't mind taking bullets for you. I will fight as long as I have breath in my body. I will sweat to build this place. I will bleed to build this thing that God has called. I will take the arrows so that you can have the land. It's not about my lifespan. It's about your legacy. If Jesus doesn't come back for 200 years, I want somebody to show up to this address and say, 200 years ago, there was a group of people at Living Way that fought the good fight, that worshiped when it wasn't easy, that sacrificed when it wasn't comfortable. When everybody else was doing the secret sensitive thing, they dug in and prayed and worshiped and gave and served. I've watched my stand on your feet. I'm not going to get too personal, but I've watched my dad for 50 years stand here and preach. And sometimes you didn't see it, but he was pulling arrows out of his back on the other side of that door to come out here so that we could have land, so that we could have Jubilee. I've watched my mom dig the bullets out of her body about what people had said and people had done and life and all of the things that happened. And I'm not saying this for pity. I'm just saying that somebody's taking arrows for us and somebody's taking bullets for us. And so for us not to walk with God, it's disrespectful to the men and women of faith that have come before us. It is disrespectful to Rexy's granddad who sat 100 yards that way. It is disrespectful to Leslie Nichols who sat there for 4 decades. It is disrespectful for you and I to not walk with God. But I'll tell you who it really disrespects. If you and I don't walk with God, it disrespects Sean Jr. and Adelina and the legacy. Disrespects little Maverick. Disrespects Eric and Angel Haley and the young people that are coming up in this church. If we don't walk with God, can you imagine them standing before God and God saying, I gave you parents that were supposed to walk with God and they didn't do that for you? I use these families because they're walking with God, so it's easy for me to say that. There's so many times where we're pioneering something and it's like the birthing pains. You know what God has promised, but man, getting there is so tough. And sometimes I feel like that toddler in Target with their parents, sometimes I feel like God's just having to drag me along because I don't see it. I don't feel it. I'm frustrated. I'm hurt. But I keep walking. Some days I cover miles, some days it's centimeters, but I keep walking. Lifespan. I remember when I was 18 years of age, church, just bear with me for a moment because I feel this, 18 years old, God, I want you to come back, but God, don't come back before I get married. Then you get married and it's, God, Jesus, I know you're coming back, but I want to have children. And now it's, Jesus, I want you to come back, but let me have grandchildren and let me see this building full. But I realize that so much of that is lifespan, but it's not legacy. And we spent 2 months ago, we spent talking so much about Jubilee and that the prodigals are coming home. That's a legacy. I believe the greatest move that we have ever seen at Living Way is still in front of us. And I believe that we will see and we will live long enough to see it. But if Jesus should tarry, I believe the biggest parts of Living Way I will never see. And that's okay, because that's legacy. And when I get to heaven and this old earth fades away and heaven is open to every believer, people are going to walk up to you. They're going to walk up to me on Streets of Gold and they're going to say, thank you for pioneering. Thank you for walking with God when it was not easy. The altars are open. The last year of my life, there's been such a struggle, not in an unhealthy way, but a very healthy way. Taking inventory, what is important, Brandon? What is not? Is this a business you need to do? Or is that a lifespan purpose? So what I've started doing is I've started measuring everything, lifespan or legacy. Lifespan says, this is what I want to do before I die. Legacy is, this is the things God has called me to do while I live. And walking with God is a part of that. Mandy and I, we talk all the time, of course. Some of it's just frivolous and it's just fun stuff. But man, here lately we've had serious talks about kingdom, about what really matters. We're a church that believes in the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of water baptism, the power of giving and tithing and serving. But I don't want us to ever get like some of these churches are getting, where they're so rigid in what they're preaching that they don't give grace and space for everybody that is just looking for the answer. I don't want to make the rules for walking with God so tough that you never start walking with God. Because I believe if you start walking with God the right way, that God will fix you and clean us up as we walk. If you would like to join your peers from side to side, they're stretched, but I believe there's another dozen, two or three dozen in this place. We got room for you over here. We can start a second line, but we're going to pray for you. We're going to add our faith. But here's the thing. If it's about lifespan, stay where you're at. But if you're about legacy, I need you to move out of your seat and come to this altar. This is about walking in obedience. God will cause us to live and prosper and prolong our days, and legacy will be built. Legacy will be built. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment. If you don't know Jesus, this is your moment to say yes to him. With your life, it's an eternal decision. Saying yes to Jesus as Savior today, inviting him into your life, it's literally your first step with Jesus. And the rest of your life, you'll walk with him and you'll make him your Lord. If you need to make that declaration, that decision today, I would love for you to join us in this altar. If you are struggling in any way, this is a moment for us to add our faith to your faith and God to show up. And your walk with God is going to transform your life. You could be sick and God's going to bring healing, I believe. You could be addicted, God's going to bring freedom. You could be confused, God's going to bring clarity. If you'd like to be baptized in water, this is your moment. We have built a very robust team, admin and baptizers, because we want to make sure that we are always ready. When hundreds show up to be baptized, we're going to be ready in Jesus' name. But if you're ready to make that decision today, this is your moment. But if you're at a healthy place in your relationship with God, I want you to lift both hands to heaven right now and start praying. And if you got a lot of faith, I'd love for you to stretch one hand to your brothers and your sisters in this altar. Some of them have gotten on their knees before God. Hands are raised. Tears are flowing right now. This is not about lifespan. It's about legacy. It's about, God, I'm going to walk with you all the days of my life. God, you're going to walk with me, but I'm going to walk with you in Jesus' name. Let's pray.